So the story is like this. You have, leading up, we're on the precipice of Shavuos, right? We're coming close. We're in striking distance now. So there's a Gemara in Menachos, which is not brought down here. Mm-hmm. It's on Daf. No, there's another one. It's on Daf Chaf Tes. It's a famous Gemara. That it says when Moshe went up to get the Torah, he sees Hashem putting crowns on the letters. And he says, what's that about? Now there's a corresponding Gemara just in Shabbos, the Peches Peites, all about when Moshe went up to get the Torah. And there, that version is, he walks in, doesn't say hello, and Hashem says, where you come from? They don't, like where you come from? We grew up in a barn or something? Whatever, fine. But the Gemara in Menachos, that version is, he sees the crowns being put on. He says, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? So he said, there's going to be someone one day that's going to be able to learn thousands, hundreds of halachos off of each little crown. So Moshe says, who is this Rabbi Akiva? Show me him. So he takes him, time travel, and he takes him into the base mentorship of Rabbi Akiva. And Moshe's, they sit him in the eighth row. And the idea of that is that there's a hierarchy. So like the top guy sits in the front row. So you're in the eighth row already. Moshe's in the eighth row. Some say he might have been even further back. Okay. And so Moshe's listening. He has no clue what they're talking about. He becomes very despondent. And then they say, Rebbe, to Rabbi Akiva, like, where do you get this? Where do you derive this from? It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Oh, Moshe feels a little bit better, but at least it's coming from. Sure. He comes back to Hashem. He says, if you have someone of this caliber, why are you giving the Torah to me? Hashem says, quiet. So it's come up. Kach alav mashava, like whatever. This is like what it's supposed to be. So Moshe says, if this is this incredible person, what's his schar? Takes him back in time, or takes him forward in time, and he's being... His body is being mutilated by the Romans. He's being flayed. Moshe says, Zeus, Zeus Torah v'Zeus Chara. This is Torah, this is its reward. Quiet, kach alam machshav alafana. That's the Gemara. So now, forget all the other stuff that's going on here. A couple of things. One is that what the Gemara is telling us is that Rabbi Akiva's present at Mount Har Sinai. When Moshe went up to Har Sinai, this is what he saw, okay? A. I started thinking about this. I said, oh my gosh. Hashem could take Moshe to Rabbi Akiva at different parts of his career. If Moshe's in the eighth row, where is this in Rabbi Akiva's career as a Rebbe? It's probably during the time that he had 24,000 students. Definitely not the five. He would eighth row, that's like, what do you mean? Like, you know, you got your five students, eighth row. No. It was at the time before the punishment of the wiping out of his students. So it's like, what's that about? Just thinking about it, that's pretty crazy. So Hashem is taking Moshe to see Rabbi Akiva in the quote unquote heyday of his incredible explosion of Talmidim. But it's also, in context, it means that he's showing him Rabbi Akiva in action of learning the Tilei Tilim Shel Halachos on these crowns. So like, there is, in a certain sense, there was a certain exactitude to Rabbi Akiva in his approach that was being mostly, not to say maybe later on he didn't have that, but in that time period of the 24,000 students, they were... It was that incredible intensity and very exactitude type of approach that perhaps that was so heavy that it led to the issue of the breakdown between the students. Lo nagu kavod zelazeh is because when you're so exact, it carries over, it spills over to maybe the way they treated each other that they didn't give proper respect because they were being so exact in everything. It wasn't like just in there. It became a global thing, perhaps. I don't know. But you see that there's something very intense about that that corresponds to Mamre Har Sinai. When Moshe went up, he sees this experience of Rabbi Akiva, who's present there in a sense. Now, what do we know about Mamre Har Sinai? What we celebrate on Shavuos is that it was a failure. 40 days later, you have the worst sin, pretty much. You know, it goes basically the sin of the gold, right? The chet of the egel equals the chet of Meraglim. They're pretty bad both. So why do we celebrate Shavuos if it was a failure? But we do. We celebrate Shavuos. So perhaps, and then ultimately we do get the Torah again, and that's the Torah of Yom Kippur. Right? That's the Day of Atonement. We knew that things were better because Hashem sent the Torah again. So we got the second Luchos. But so you see this idea that Rabbi Kiva's, the fact that his students all died during the time from between Pesach and Shavuos is not a coincidence. They could have died any time of the year. The fact that they were dying here is, and then why Rabbi Kiva is showing up at Mamre Har Sinai and in the, and Hashem showing him the Afka.
It's like an oxymoron. It's like a good thing he's at Har Sinai and then.
But he's in that the time of the 24,000 students and that whole tekufa. At least that's what it seems. Again, I haven't seen anybody say this, but this is my own, like, just putting it together, piece it together. It seems like that's what's going on, and it kind of makes sense. There's a parallel between what happened at Mamre Har Sinai, and because there must have been something going on that was not 100% that led to, again, it's more us. It's an issue that we had to deal through, that we're coming back every year, and that's what we're dealing with. We're going to a place where we clearly recognize this incredible revelation that we're celebrating, right? We're celebrating Hashem coming down and revealing himself to us at Mamre Har Sinai. But it wasn't perfect. There was something that was imperfect that led to or needed to now, and then what we seem to continue to need to address. Okay, fine. So now, fine. That's here. Next, you have a very interesting Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Hey. It's a famous Gemara that says basically, if I were to categorize, it would be like, should one learn all day? Or should one go to work? Famous Gemara, Taf Lamed Hey. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, you got to go to work. Rabbi Kiva says, you got to learn all day. That's an easy reading of the Gemara. But they're arguing on a Pasuk. Now, we read it twice a day. Shema. V'hayam Shema. Here's V'hayam Shema Tishmu El Mitzvosai Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Eskem Hayom Mi'avos Hashem Elokeichem L'Avdo B'chol B'vavchem B'chol Nafshechem. Right? So if you listen to my mitzvos that I'm commanding you today to love Hashem and to worship Him with all your hearts and with all your soul, then what? V'natati, right? And I'll give Matar Artzachem B'ito Yerel Malkosh. I'll give you the reins in the proper times, different, the harder, the softer, whatever. V'yasafta diganecha v'syurashcha v'yitzurecha. And then you'll go and gather your grain, your wine, your oil. Okay? Now, stop there. If you're reading the Pashup Shabbat in the Pasuk, it sounds like it's saying like this. And you tell me if you agree or disagree. If you listen to what God is commanding you and you do the proper work, then Hashem will reward you, give you the rain in its proper time, and then you'll be able to gather the proper, you know, you'll be able to then gather in the good crop. That's what it sounds like, right? So now look at the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hey. Tana Rabbani. V'yasafta diganecha. Ma tam lomar l'fisha nemar lo yomush sefer ha-Torah z'vipicha. So wait a second. It says you're going to gather in your grain. But then wait a second. Ma tam lomar, what does it learn? L'fisha, it says in the Pasuk, lo yomush sefer ha-Torah z'vipicha. You can't remove the Torah from your mouth. Yachol dvarim kiksavan. Do we say that literally? But it can't be because of tam lomar v'yasafta diganecha. But it at the meaning, if it says you should never stop learning Torah, then what about this pasuk v'yasafta diganecha, which means what? Hanheg vahen minak derech eretz, derech Rabbi Shmuel. You have to, like, work for a living. You got to go and take, you know, you got to go to the supermarket. You got to, whatever. I mean, right. But the idea is you got to make an effort. So it sounds like it's don't take lo yom sefer Torah as every picha literally, but rather there must be room to make a living. Fine. Comes along Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Now who's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai? So on the bottom here, if you just look at Yevamos Samach 62b, right? It says that Rabbi Akiva learned this pasuk Lamad Torah b'yaldos b'yalduso, and then Yilmod Torah b'ziknuso. You learn it when you're young. You learn it when you're older. So how you lo tamidim b'yaldos? You lo tamidim b'ziknuso. You'll have students when you're young. You'll have students when you're older. Shenema Rabokio Zaracha. They all died at the same, like at a similar time. Right? So this is the famous Gemara that talks about how he had all these students and that they died out in this time period. The world was desolate. Until Rabbi Akiva then went to the south, and he taught them. Who were they? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lezer, and Shemua. They ended up establishing Torah. And the truth is, all the Gemara goes on and talks about, or it's here or somewhere else, that all of Torah Shabbat Peh is basically based on these five students: Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua, and who's Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So now let's go back to the Gemara on the top here. So now this Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he says that this idea, second line over here, at the end over here, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Evsha Adam Achorish B'Shas Harisha V'Zorea B'Shas Ria V'Kotz B'Shas Ksir V'Dash B'Shas Disha V'Zorea B'Shas Haruach Torah Matela. The guy is doing all this activity in order to make the crop happen. He's never enough time to learn. It's so labor intensive. When are you learning? Ella, rather, when they do what they're supposed to do, actually, they don't have to do anything. It's done by other people. Others are going to come and they'll be the shepherds. But when we aren't doing what we're supposed to do, that's melechta nasas ideas. And then they got to do it. Shenem Rav Yasafta Dikanecha. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is learning the pasuk that we just read. And he's saying it's not the way we understood it. Right? We understood it. If you do what you're supposed to do, it's going to be raining and you're going to be able to gather the crop. Rabbi Shimon says, no, can't be. Why? Because if that were the case, there would never be any time to learn. So they can't be that the pasuk is saying that when it says asafta diganecha, that's actually when you're doing the right thing. It's actually, you know when that is? When you're sinning. Which is not the way the pasuk reads, at least, right? The way we...
But he also said you should have other people do it for you? So what are they going to learn?
Maybe it's AI. Maybe it'll be robots.
Maybe it's
AI. Or non-Jews. Yeah. Right? So, but the pashup shot of the pasuk is not. He's not. He's saying that it's a piece of logic. He's saying, logically speaking, if you were to play that line, you'd be so busy in the farming industry and whatever other, you know, let's call it the things that are similar to that.
Right. You
have no time to learn. So it can't be. So therefore, it must be that Yasafta Diganecha is not the way the Pasuk reads. But rather, when you're not doing the right thing, is when Yasafta Diganecha, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? So now, but what's interesting is that when you see, so now, this is a little diak here. Rabbi Shmuel learns the first pasuk, Lo Yom Sefer HaTorah Zevin Picha. The Torah should not be removed from your mouth, okay? So there's that, and then V'yasafta Diganecha. That's Rabbi Shmuel. He's taking the two opposite ideas and he's making them work together. He's saying that's not literal. Meaning to say that you never let the Torah come out of your mouth can't be, because you need to have time to go out And Minigat Derech Eretz is, you got to go and do some work.
Right.
Okay? So now, what about Rishon Yochai? How would he learn Layom Sefer HaTorah Zemipicha? Does he say that's the derivation of it? So on the surface, that's not the case. He's not learning that pasuk that way. How do I know? Because he gives us a svara. He says, Efshar Adam Charesh B'Shas da 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 da. Then Torah went, what will be with it? Nothing to do with Lo Yom HaShtefer HaTorah Zemipicha. Now what's wild about this, okay, is that then I noticed in Menachos, at the end of right here, it says, and we're done the line, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yishum Rav Yochai, Afilu Lo Kara Adam Ela Krist Shach Shmat Shach Rezarvus, Kiyim Lo Yom HaShtefer. Look, he's Mekayim Lo Yom HaShtefer HaTorah Zemipicha. You see that?
So what does that
mean? So again, so he's saying that if a person just says Shema in the morning and at night, his Yotze is Chiyav of Lima Torah. He's Mekayim the Pasuk, don't let the Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Zemim Picha. Fish, okay?
Damn.
Okay, now the Gemara in, we just finished Sota. On Mem Beis, it says there on Mem Beis, that when they go out to battle, also, it's a Ramar Yochanan Mishum Rav Yishum Rav Yochai, that if they just have the merit of Shema, Shachris and Arvis, that also will protect them. Okay? Now, what's interesting about these two Mamaros, or teachings or quotations of Rav Yishum Rav Yochai, what I just mentioned to you outside and what's in here in Merechas on Tzadi Tes, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rav Yishum Rav Yochai. Okay? He's being quoted by Rav Yochanan, which means what? It's clearly a teaching from later on in his life. Okay? Now, why do I say that? Because it brings us to the famous Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Gimel, 33b here, the middle one. That's the one where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai are sitting around saying, were the Romans good guys or bad guys? Rabbi Yehuda says they were fantastic. Look what they built. They built the whole society. Rabbi Shimon says,
Plumbing.
Well, they did everything. But it's amazing, right? Shimon says, ah. What do you mean, ah? He says that everything they did had bad intentions. They did it for, you know, ulterior motives. So now, they get reported. Rabbi Yehuda gets the promotion from the Romans. And Rabbi Yossi got a little bit, because he was quiet, he gets a little bit punished. He has to go to Tzipari. And Rabbi Shimon's got to go hide, because he's got to basically fought where they want to kill him, right? So he goes with his son. They first hide in the base measures, then they end up going to the cave, 12 years in the cave. When they come out of the cave, after the edict has basically been, you know, the it says that Eliyahu comes to tell them, your coast is clear, the zera has been lifted. They come out and they're so intense, they're burning people. Hashem says, but I didn't have you come out after all this time to start like destroy my society, get back in the cave. So they go back in the cave.
How were they burning people?
They were so intense, and they saw people who were just doing regular, everyday things. They got them so upset that they, whatever this means, okay? They metaphysically were zapping people. Hashem says, what are you doing? Get back in the cave. So they go back into the cave for another 12 months, and at that point, it's understood that they served their time. They come out again. But this time, Rabbi Shimon is a different person. Because Rabbi Shimon, his son, is still doing the burning, but he's toning it down. So there's a shift that occurs. Now, what's interesting is, remember, Rabbi Kiva is Rebbe. So the idea of the 12 years and the 12 months is actually a parallel to Rabbi Kiva's life. Because Rabbi Kiva had a stint where he went for 12 years, came back to see his wife, overhears her say, I'd be happy if he went back for another 12 years. He literally just turned around and went, right? So like the 12-12 thing. But there's something about Rabbi Akiva's ability to get up from the last idea there, Yivamos, where he's able to restart his, after the terrible tragedy, he starts over with his five Taminim, who end up becoming, they're the progenitors of all Torah Shabbat Peh. And then now Rabbi Shimon comes out. So the last of it here, jump down to this piece here. It is from third line from the bottom in this middle paragraph.
Bahadi Pani. Wait, Shabbos?
Yeah.
Okay, Shabbos. Go.
It starts with Yatah. You see that? Third last line?
Yeah.
Bahadi Pani Demali Shabbos. Chazu hahu saba dehavu naket tre nidanei asa v'ra'i d'bein hashmashos. So it was Erev Shabbos. They saw an old guy who had taken two stems of hadasim, and he was running at the time of Ben Hashmashos. Okay? Amrulei, hani lamalach, what do you have those for? Amrulehu, he answered that l'chava Shabbos. I'm doing it for the honor of Shabbos. Tiski lach b'chav. So they say, what do you need two? Just one's enough, right? If it's for Shabbos. Answers the old man, chad k'neged zachor v'chad k'neged shamor. One's for the positive, one's for the prohibition. Okay. So Amar Lei Lebrei, so Rabbi Shimon turns to his son Rabbi Lezer, he says, Chazi kama chaviva mitzvah l'Yisrael, ayasiva daitayu. He was like, it calmed him. It brought him a calm. Okay? So now look at how precious. Okay. So if you stop and say, what's machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon? And the truth is that this is not a one-time machlokas. It's a consistent machlokas we see, right? Darshan Miskaven, Lachashin Sricha Legufa. That when it comes down to it, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that your actions are what matters. Rabbi Shimon says your intentions are what matters. Okay? And so consistently, the machlokas here, the Romans, I don't care what their intentions were. Rabbi Yehuda says, but look what they built. Rabbi Shimon says, who cares what they built? They're a bunch of lowlifes, right? It's all with bad intent. So consistently, right? So what's interesting is that you see here.
Same thing with mitzvah. They have the same focus with mitzvahs.
Yeah, that was Shem's comment.
Yeah,
you drag the bench, you make a charetz.
Exactly. Okay, yeah.
Consistent. It's a consistent machlok, which is very interesting. Okay, yes. Now both students are Rabbi Akiva. It's not like one's, but they have these. So first of all, it's a couple of things. One is the position of Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara in Brachos. Again, the fact that he's saying v'yasafta diganecha is when you're not doing the right thing, which already is not the way straight reading is. In general, Rabbi Shimon is the one who brings us Kabbalah. The Zohar is attributed to him, right? So when you think about the Ramban, as opposed to Rashi, like just this is a general, I'm generalizing, but it's kind of a consistent thing. Rashi will look at the Pasuk and really focus in the Pasuk. Ramban will say, he'll pan out actually and start looking at a larger picture. The only way that you could say v'yasafta diganecha is when you're not doing the right thing has to be with that Ramban approach. I'm not going to be fixated to just what's sitting here. I can look at a bigger picture and then actually come out with a v'yasafta diganecha that's not necessarily the way I would have read it the way we read it originally. But you see that he's taking a much, that in general, there is this like larger kind of global approach that Ramban is clearly impacted by the Mahalach of the Zohar, Rav Shimon. But so I saw in the Chaban that he started talking, he talks about these things, and maybe I remember we covered this, I'm not even sure. We did a little bit on the Lag BaOmer thing. But this idea of Rabbi Shimon is fixated on what people's intent is.
Yeah, that's why. Right? Yeah, that's
okay.
Yes, 100%.
So here, in this case of, first and foremost, the idea that at one point he was very intense, but tones it down, is that there was a need to like work through these issues. Like Rabbi Kiva, the exactitude, like as he comes out the first time he's zapping people, you know. But ultimately, what the Chaban said to us, right, was that he's like, what Rabbi Shimon looked at the end of the day, is what's deep down in a Jew in terms of what they want. And what they really always want is the right to do the right thing. There's a goodness there. And that maybe he sees that over here. Chazi kama chaviva mitzvos Yisrael. Look at this old man running with these hadassim. Mm. With two, not just on a simple level, but he's actually has two of them because he's thinking about the positive and the negative, you know, like the totality of Shabbos and how sweet it is to him, because that's ultimately, that's what's going on inside the Jew, like deep down. Sometimes it's not, maybe it's covered up by a lot of, you know, layers, so it's not necessarily accessible, but that's what Rosh Hashanah understood, and perhaps that's why, more recently, you have this amazing, like, interest in Lag BaOmer, people are attracted to it because it's calling, it speaks to us in a certain way. But
there's more flavor there.
Yeah, right?
No question about that.
But the other thing is, the idea that Rabbi Yochanan, this later, I would say, when Rabbi Yochanan's quoting Rosh Hashanah, I feel lo kara adam, ela kreshma shachar sarvis, kiem lo yomsh, right? Is saying that, what do you mean? Like, I thought you were the guy who said you got to learn all day, right? The Gemara Brachos. But now, that's why I made that deal, said that. That was not what was driving him there. What was driving him there is that if you do really spend all your time working, you never have time to learn.
Right.
So that was the driver. It wasn't the Pasuk Lo Yomosh, right? The top line there. Lo Yomosh was not his driver per se. But the fact that Rabbi Yochanan, two places, quotes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai as the much, much more, like, all you have to do is a little bit of learning in the morning, a little bit of morning, and, you know, that's being Mekayim. And he's quoting Rabbi Shimon, it's already later. Almost like this is a different Rabbi Shimon than the guy who came out of the cave, right? That first time for sure, right? It's like you see the progression. Now, how this ties back to Shavuos also is very much this issue. Like, what it really is saying to us is that, yes, the first Shavuos ended up not so well. But we come back every year to the same Shavuos, and we're like just as excited. We're tapping into that initial excitement. And what we're saying is, let's go again. Let's give it a shot. A la Rabbi Kiva, who, when we see him in the Gemara in Menachos, where the ksarim, where the crowns are being put on, that was not a good time. It didn't end well. Similar to Ayishuas of the original Mamad Har Sinai. But what we see with Rabbi Kiva at the end, 62b, and so too with Rabbi Shimon at the end of the Gemara Lag BaOmer, of Lag, 33b, you see that there's a shift. Right, that as things, like there's you never give up. You constantly you have to, like, and perhaps this is even crazier. There's an idea that Torah is only really quote unquote successful when you mess up. You need to mess up. You almost have to, like, mess up as part of the process of development. Which is true.
I mean,
in life.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Meaning in general life, when do you really succeed? After you failed, maybe once, twice, maybe multiple times, where it didn't always go so well.
Life is about getting up. That's right.
Correct.
Getting up, Matt.
So this is I think that, like, this idea of, like, what we learn from Rabbi Shimon. So, like, these two ideas, Rabbi Kiva's ability to, like, you know, here it's like not as stressed, I didn't, like, go deep into Rabbi Kiva, but as a student of Rabbi Shimon, and it's like you see a shift. I mean, it's you know, the parenthetical was how he learned the pasuk Yasafta Diganecha, which I still think, like, someone wanted to point out to me that we have to look really at what comes before this parsha in the, like, Dvarim, let's say 10. Let's go. You have to go through that paragraph. See, maybe there's more there that would help also Rabbi Shimon to get, you know, support for why he shifts. Yeah, the pashup shot of reading away the two lines that I put down here. It's like, of course, it's when they do the good thing, they're going to get the rain, and things are going to be, you know, they're going to go out and gather in their stuff. That's not a punishment. That's, like, that's the normal way of life. But he reads it differently. You know, right?
Yeah, right. He changes. Right? He changes.
Yeah, but I mean, he takes it out of the way we would normally simple read it, but for sure, at the end of the day, I mean, first of all, coming back to that Gemara in Brachos, it's like it changes, just like starting to try to understand the back and forth of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. I mean, I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon, I think it's interesting because it's like it's more going on than just like, does a person learn all day or work, you know, for a living? You know, it's like but it goes deeper. It goes much deeper. But that you see that, and again, at what stage of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's life did that Gemara in Brachos come up also? It's like interesting to think about. I don't think it's clear cut one way or the other. Maybe you want to say it was early on, that he was much more intense, and that later on maybe he would have had a little bit of a different position. But you see one thing also that's very cool is that even though people go through their development and they end up at a different endpoint, it doesn't negate everything that happened from the beginning through, meaning that the Gemaras will quote, the Gemara quotes all these different opinions from different parts of their development. And it doesn't cancel out because he ends over here and was different, that therefore all that other stuff in between was not relevant. It's kept. This is important in terms of, like, you know, ideas that we take home with us. That they're kind, right? They don't just like say, oh well, he now has a different opinion, he's developed and he's there, that therefore all that other stuff. No, the fact that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students or 12,000 pairs of students, that's vital. It actually it informs and impacts who he is at the end in Gemara Yavamos 62. It's like it's part of what had to happen. That's exactly what the Gemara like learns it there. Here's A, and then this is what happened, B. Then you have Rabbi Shimon go back in the cave, come out again. And then you see a shift, you know, and maybe in a softening of his position, right? So, like, but it's all important to see that development and then, okay, there's room for us to be able to, and so then, so again, bring it in for, and again, it also has this very much, it enhances, like, it's not just that Shavuos, the first time around, was a failure, is that no, it was amazing. And I want to go back to that, and let's work through it again, and let's see where the outcome is. But it's not that we just say, "Oh, that was bad. Sorry, we're not going there again." No, it's the opposite. We come back to it, and we keep on coming back to it, and we read the outcome of it, and this back and forth and back and forth. I mean, that might be the nature of Bamidbar, the whole Sefer. It's like it's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of crazy bad stuff that we went through there, you know. But it's actually, you know, that's how you know, like, that's one of the proofs that Hashem wrote the Torah, not a man, because who would ever put in all this bad stuff about themselves, right? It's like, come on. But yeah, so that's the story. That's what this is, you know, a good prep for. Like, it takes us from Lag BaOmer to Shavuos, and like the idea, the teachings that we have from these different people and how they develop, and that's what the Chabad was saying, right? Is at the end of the day, we really, really want to do the right thing. We have a good. There's a goodness that underlies.
So, how the Talmidim dying? How does that fit into this?
Oh, so the idea of their exact how they were behaving was
bad.
Yeah, but it was Dafka. It was very much tied to Mamon Har Sinai or the upcoming, right? So, I mean, they could have died in El. They could have died in you know, Adar. You know, why Dafka here? This is the time we're getting ready for Torah. And Torah is not tolerant.
Because you were saying they were being too.
Yeah, they were too exact.
They were too.
Too exact. Yeah. So that's.
And how does this fit in with the original question about learning, about. Should you learn for the full day?
Oh, that's that machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon. That just it takes us to that. That's more focused to understand, like just to look at Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and how he learns.
That's right.
Yeah. That is like, I mean, in that position, he seems to be pretty intense. And so much so that like Abai, it says it. Harbi Yasu Ki Rabbi Shmuel Ba'alta B'Yadan Ki Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai V'lo Alta B'Yadan. It's like what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in this Gemara and Brachos, what he's asking of them is just it's not it's really not for the masses at all, Rabbi Shmuel is Harvey Asik Rabbi Shmuel, but Alta Biyadan is like that's, but it's what kind of like takes us off to the side here in terms of like what's really being like this, like if you were to say what are the takeaways from the Gemara Baruch Islam and hey, it's not just about whether one learns all day or whether one needs to go out to work, which the Rambam is very clear. It's like you can't make money off of Torah. Yeah, you know, you can, whatever. But let's just leave it like that. It's, you can look at the Rambam and go through with that, you know, Hilchos Talmud Torah and all this other stuff. But what's amazing, I think, is that how Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai learns the psukim and then uses a svar to tell you that the normal like way of reading a pasuk, he's literally turning it upside down. I mean, yasaf deganecha is when you're not doing the right thing. I mean, how do you get there? I mean, it's the opposite. I mean, it's like the Torah's psukim read when you do the right thing, you're going to get the rain in the proper time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that also, I mean, it's fascinating. It's not that the pasuk lo yom sefer Torah zav picha. That he learns differently in other places. Maybe, I don't know, you know, you want to say that that's a driver here, that it's a conscious Rabbi Shmuel who tones it down. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, sort of. So,